Sponsorship for Marketing Voices is provided by Intel, the world leader in silicon innovation, and WebEx, the global leader in on-demand collaborative applications.
This is Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of industry leaders and examining the impact of social media on marketing.
Hi, this is Jennifer Jones. Welcome to Marketing Voices. I have Peter Kim with me today, who's a senior analyst at Forrester, and he and I are going to be talking about microblogging for marketers. He has just finished a report, which he graciously said he will ensure that all the people listening can get a copy of it from Forrester, which is a very generous offer because normally they charge a lot of money for these reports. And so that will be really exciting. We'll offer that up at the end of the podcast. So, Peter, welcome to Marketing Voices.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jennifer. Thanks for having me.
Well, so let's just dive right into it. So what is microblogging? I had Biz Stone of Twitter on the show maybe about 6 months ago, but it was brand new then. So now you've got a much greater perspective. Give the listeners an idea of what it is.
Yeah, microblogging is a tool, an online tool primarily, but certainly extended to mobile as well, that allows users to send updates to a network of followers, friends and followers, I should say. The way to think about it would be a cross between instant messaging, a little bit of blogging, and a little bit of social networking all thrown together online.
So how does it work? I mean, how do you sort of make it work?
Yeah, there are a few major microblogging sites. One would be Twitter, the most widely followed. Another is Pounce, which was founded by Kevin Rose of Dig fame, and Haiku, which was recently bought by Google, actually, so is currently closed to new subscribers. Signing up is free for now. All you have to do is log on to a site and set up a new account, find a username that's not taken at this point, set up a password, and you're on your way.
So do all three groups basically, well, actually just two, Twitter and Pounce at this point, do they work the same way?
They're fairly similar. There are different features and functionality on both of the sites. For example, Pounce has a little bit more interactivity with multimedia, so adding files and sending those to friends. So it's a little bit more like an IM client in that sense. So a little bit different functionality when you get between sites, but the general messaging concept is pretty much the same.
Very cool. So you, in your report, go into the companies that are using this. Can you talk about how they're using it and who is using it?
Yeah, I certainly can. Some of the most active companies, at least ones that I'm following today, are Dell, and they're using it to let Twitter followers know about promotions that are coming up online. It's interesting, every time Dell tweets, which is tweet is the parlance for posting a message on Twitter, whenever Dell tweets about an offer, they're sure to follow up with a short message that says, and our legal department wants you to know X or Y or Z about the offer. JetBlue is also doing this with some of their offers. Carnival Cruise Lines is a brand that's on there. And so there are a lot of official companies who have a presence on there. Some interactive agencies are on Twitter, and media outlets like CNN, Wall Street Journal, New York Times are all on there as well. That being said, I should also make mention that there are a number of fake or bogus profiles on Twitter as well. So as you can imagine, Apple and a number of Apple products have profiles set up on Twitter, but pretty certain that most of those are fake at this point.
So interesting. So what are the challenges a lot of these companies are? You mentioned the legal thing, but what else is there? I mean, what are you hearing about?
Yeah, the number one concern I have about marketers getting started with Twitter is that, I think you have to think about microblogging as an extension or a step beyond blogging itself. Now, a lot of companies are just getting familiar with blogging to begin with, so still questions about blogging policies, how do I interface with legal, what sort of workflow should I go through to make sure that we can vet content, make sure nothing gets out into the public that we do and or don't want said. Microblogging is a little bit different. It's more real time, although whether it's synchronous or asynchronous is certainly a debate that's going on right now. but it's there's less chance to be able to filter content. So if someone's going to tweet or post a message on a microblog, it's less likely that you're going to have a very convoluted or multi-step workflow process to get that content checked out by legal. So a lot of marketers are hesitant to jump in because they're not sure what kind of voice their brand or company should have on one of these microblog sites.
So in terms of sending messages, so it is like you said, it's like IM. And what have they run into? I mean, what kind of issues have been challenges? Do you know any specifics?
You know, I haven't heard of anybody having problems per se. But I can tell you, for example, that Delta Airlines set up an account. And actually, my understanding is that it was an advertising agency or interactive agency that was working with Delta who set up an account called Delta Airlines. And it was live for a while, and it's gone fairly dormant because it was launched coinciding with the rebranding and emergence from bankruptcy of the airline. And so there were a lot of great tweets. You could see that the person behind the account was very engaged, responding to messages that were sent to this person from other people on Twitter, is the site they were using. But there was a certain point at which the account just went dark, and they're not communicating anymore. So I think there were a number of people let down by that. And so, like many other social media initiatives, whether you're setting up a Facebook group or whether you're deciding to get active in discussion boards or setting up a private community, like with any other tool, you've got to be dedicated and be willing that when you start a following and you start engaging and communicating with customers, that you're going to continue the conversation, that you've got resources dedicated to it, and that you'll keep it going. Otherwise, it can turn into a pretty abrupt, poor experience.
So, yeah, you mentioned in your report sort of how it kind of really works, and you talk a lot about control over message distribution and self-expression. Can you elaborate a little bit on the positives of that?
Yeah, absolutely. Posting a message is certainly at the surface level for public consumption, and you can even have what I would say public messaging that is public-private messaging, let's say. So you're responding in particular, or you're leaving a message out in public for an individual, but you're okay with everyone else seeing that. So pretty popular to, you know, because what might be of direct interest to one person might also be of interest to many others. But there's also, at least in Twitter, the ability to direct message somebody. So within the actual physical commands, it's preceding a message with a D. And by doing so, you'll be able to send a tweet via email directly to an account that a user has set up. So there are a few different levels at which users of a microblog can communicate with other users. Typically, it's very public, but it can also be private if the content of the message needs to be. So pretty flexible in that sense.
So in terms of who's microblogging today besides the corporations, I bet it's pretty heavily male-dominated and kind of younger and more affluent than average.
It is. I think this is the thing for marketers, and keeping in mind that this is a tool through which you're going to want to try and build relationships. And I applaud marketers who have gotten in there and experimented and said, hey, it may not be a perfect fit for our brand, but there's a pretty low barrier to entry. So we might as well get on there and see how we can start to add this new tool into our social media strategy. When we look at the demographics, at least from our survey work, we do find that compared to the average U.S. population, they are, Twitter users in particular, are much more likely to be male, younger. So think about someone who's a very technology optimistic person, meaning that it's someone who really looks at technology as something that can improve their lifestyle and their daily, their daily being. So we find that, in my opinion, looking at the data, if you want to reach a set of people who are at the leading edge of the early adoption curve, you're more likely than not going to find them using Twitter. There are no rules around what should or shouldn't be posted in Twitter. I mean, there are certain, for marketers, you're certainly going to want to follow established corporate guidelines for what you communicate and what you don't. I think it's pretty important for marketers to get out there and claim keywords that are related to your brand. So there are still a lot of handles out there and still available, but a lot have been claimed by cyber squatters already. So, you know, get on there and claim your brand. You know, and it's a great way to monitor what's being said about your brand. Twitter in particular allows a tracking feature so that if anybody mentions your company's name or your brand name, you'll get an alert via SMS through the tracking when that's said, much like some of the, you know, things like Google News alerts. And finally, you know, this is trackable. So when companies post URLs online, you should definitely be linking those back to your own web analytics so that you can track who's coming as a result of exposure on Twitter. And so it's not just a, hey, let's do it because it's cool and cutting edge. Let's actually track what kind of traffic we're driving from the site as well. So, you know, so for all of the goodness and the newness that is microblogging, I think it fits pretty well into existing marketing strategy as well.
Great. Well, Peter, thank you very much. I have been talking to Peter Kim, who's a senior analyst at Forrester Research, and he just put out a report called Microblogging for Marketers, and he has made it available to all the listeners at www.forrester.com/marketing voices. So, Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jennifer.
And to all my listeners, until next week, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.